Call to order. We have an invocation and pledge led by Chris Wellman.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to you tonight asking for your guidance, wisdom, and support as we begin this meeting. Help us to engage in meaningful discussion, allow us to grow closer as a group, and nurture the bonds of community. Fill us with grace as we make decisions that affect students, faculty, staff, alumni, and friends of SEF. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Prouty, do we have public comment?
We do, sir.
Okay. All right, we have public comment time now. First up is Linda McKay.
Hi, I'm Linda McKay, 982 Carnoustie Place, Bradenton. Today, back in January, I talked to you guys about the St. Petersburg Market Study, and I compared it to SEF current salary. And what I did is I went into the Evergreen study, which is the St. Petersburg College study, and the data I used was for 30 credit hours, because that's what we teach, that's what is included in our base, 15 hours in the fall, 15 hours in the spring, five in the fall, five classes in the fall, five in the spring. And I just wanted to point that out, because sometimes, I learned at my MBA and my doctorate, when I finally figured out what stats meant, I kind of figured out, numbers, you can find out, people can spout numbers, but if you're comparing apples to apples, it really doesn't tell you anything. So if somebody were to use average salaries, okay, an average salary, that could include, it could include overload. It could include if you're a program director. It could include if you're a department chair. So that's one of the reasons I did it the way I did it. I followed Evergreen's, the way Evergreen did their study, and I compared our information to the data that they provided. I didn't know how many people really understood that, and I just wanted to point that out. I just felt that was the best way to do it, is to use the 30 credit hours, because that's what we do. So that's all I was going to tell you. You guys will get tired of seeing me.
Never.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Jennifer Beeslin.
Jennifer Beeslin, and my address is 3621. Everyone?
Avenida
Madeira. You got it. Avenida Madeira, Bradenton, Florida, 34210. So as chapter union president, I want to say thank you, firstly. And I know you looked under a rock and you were able to find some funds for faculty, and that matters. What that tells us is that you're listening and you're hearing us, and we would like to say thank you for that. So when we first started our public comment kind of campaign, back in the spring, and you found $2,000, and then you were able to find $2,000 again. And so I know that was a challenge, and it hasn't gone unnoticed, and it is appreciated. And as we move forward, and you look to the budget, one of the things that President Gregory said in an email to all of us today is that he would like to graduate more students faster. And that's on all of us. That's on you, that's on our upper level admin, that's on our staff, and that's on us too as faculty. So as you plan and as you budget, you want to keep the amazing faculty that you have right now. We're doing 23 searches for faculty. It is retirement, but it's also other things too. We need to retain the quality faculty that you have, because Trustee Goodson came to my class, he got to see the person who won the speech competition today. There were three of us, Colleen Page and myself. We led a speech competition. Goodson, I don't know if you remember the student that talked about how classical music impacts the human brain. She won number one. And President Gregory was there. We need to be able to teach our students who are going to be leaders, who are going to be experts in their field, in a way that is accessible. And to do that, you need qualified, educated faculty. So remember, as you plan the budget, remember that you have to budget for faculty salaries. You have to keep the amazing faculty that you have, and we have to continue to attract amazing faculty. And thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer. Next is Catherine Bezura.
So this is our symbolic and
so she is now outgoing union president, incoming union president.
All right. Madam President.
The challenge continues. I don't think I'll do my timer tonight, but I am Catherine Bezura, and I am 207 32nd Street West in Bradenton. I am here to say thank you and express my gratitude. And as we move into the last 4 weeks of the semester, the faculty is moving forward in this way towards graduation. You're about to see a student here who's our student government president. And through a happenstance, I have become her academic coach in a special sort of scenario situation. And we're trying to make sure we catch all of our students, right? She wasn't accepted to one program for a reason, and so we picked her up, Jennifer and I, in our faculty-led coaching. So we rehearsed a small speech yesterday in my office, and I love being with students. I did a great lecture on divinity. I thank you for listening to me talk about transformation and what it means when we first move ourselves, when we hear the call. And I have heard it, and I have been given one of the great honors of my life. I've been asked to be the speaker at my son's graduation here at the State College of Florida, the Collegiate School, on May 2nd at 10 a.m. And I hope that you'll come join us. I promise not to embarrass him, and that's a pretty high order. And so far, the speech is called Remedy. And I look forward to working with all of you to make your goal to soar a reality and graduate more and quicker. Thank you.
Thank you.
All of you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. All right, seeing no other, public comment is closed. We have the president's report.
Thank you, Chairman. First, let me say thank you to the faculty. I agree with everything you said, except that we'll get tired of seeing you. That's not going to happen. We'll get tired of seeing you. And we are thrilled to have an agreement and look forward to more and more progress. We know we still have more work to do. And we're going to keep fighting along those lines. You'll see in the presidential report this month that I spent a lot of time in Tallahassee speaking with a lot of representatives about working on our funding, both for our two PICO projects that are up there this year and, more importantly, our number one goal, recurring funding. So I'm going to keep working on that. I think things are going well. I'm cautiously optimistic. The meetings have gone well, but you never know what's going to happen in Tallahassee. I'll just say I'm cautiously optimistic right now.
And we won't know anything until when we go to budget. We won't know anything, right?
Yeah, you don't really know until the last day as they are negotiating behind the scenes and doing the back of the budget bill amendments that they do. And then, of course, we won't know even after that until the governor signs it. And you've seen that there are many areas of disagreement this year. But the governor just today announced that April is Florida College System Month. He's very excited, and you've heard in his agenda and his speeches over the years his appreciation for workforce and workforce education. And, of course, community colleges are a huge part of workforce education. So I don't anticipate any problems right now. That's why I'm cautiously optimistic. Between the legislature's support and, you know, the governor's view on workforce education, I think we're well poised to do well this year. Any questions for me? All right, thank you, Chair.
All right, thank you. Next up, we have a mission moment with a business department overview with Kristen Zaborski.
President Gregory, administration, and the board, welcome, and thank you for allowing me this opportunity to talk about the business department at State College of Florida. Very happy to be here. So you've heard from Professor Jason Reed. He talked about the technology department at the March board meeting, and we work very close together. We're in the same division, and I reached out to President Gregory, and I said, I would love to give a presentation about the business department, some of the fun things that we are doing, and he was very open to that. He said, absolutely. He said, I'm on board with that. So here we are. So purpose, this is a informational overview, starting with the end in mind. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. You can interrupt me or you can ask at the end, okay? So we have some really exciting courses that we offer in the business department. Some of you maybe have taken those courses before. So principles of macroeconomics, principles of microeconomics, that's in my wheelhouse. Those are the classes that I teach. You're nodding your head. Economic problems and policy. And then, of course, principles of financial accounting, principles of managerial accounting. Dr. McKeag teaches those classes. Introduction to business, introduction to entrepreneurship. Dr. Johnson, shout out to you. Introduction to accounting, introduction to hospitality and tourism, and introduction to sport management, which, as you can imagine, is very popular among students. Applied organizational behavior, personal finance, financial management, business writing and communications, foundations of international business, operations management, quality management, strategic management, business mathematics, legal environment of business, digital marketing, and management personnel, just to name a few. That's not even all the classes that we offer. And our classes are taught by really talented full-time and adjunct faculty. So we have some amazing SCF employees who are adjuncts in the business department. Jamie Smith, Sean Patton, Jamie Myers, so just a shout out to them. They're really amazing adjuncts that teach for us in the business department and some of the other things that they do in the college. We are growing, which is amazing. Business is very popular among students. It always has been, and we hope that it always will be. So we are growing. Enrollment is increasing. Just to give you an idea, from fall 2022, the headcount, we see a lot of students. And in comparison from fall 2022 to all the way to last semester, fall 2024. So we are growing and we'd like to see that. So how have we been able to achieve that? Well, if a class is full and we have a full-time faculty member that has some room in their schedule or one of our amazing adjuncts that would be willing to teach that, that's when I can reach out to them and I can offer another class and we can grow enrollment that way. Classes are capped at 30 students. So that's how we've been able to successfully grow our enrollment, is by offering more classes, meeting the students where they are, responding to that demand. So as many of you know, business degrees provide the most opportunities for dynamic and diverse career options. So students do have a guided pathway, maybe you've heard about that. They begin with a plan in mind, they find their path, and they work towards their goals. Of course, that goal being, how do we graduate, right? So the chair and program managers in the business department, we assist students with any questions that they have related to their degree programs. And we also have academic success coaches, but we're actually very familiar with our business courses, especially our students that are business track. And so we advise them as well. All right, so this is a very important person because she helps keep the department running day to day. So Betty Lorenzo Albrecht, she's our business and technology academic secretary. She's just wonderful. She's been at the college for many, many years. Started off working in the bookstore. She's worked in human resources. So I wanted to give her a shout out. She is just absolutely wonderful. Her son is a graduate of the SCF Collegiate School, and he is actually enrolled in our supervision and management baccalaureate degree, which is awesome. This is myself. So chair of the business department, going on 3 years now, full professor of economics. And then I'm very, very proud of this. Class of 59, Sarasota County Citizens Law Enforcement Academy graduate. So that's very exciting. Very proud of that. And then these are our full-time faculty members in the business department. Assistant professor of economics, Justin McDonald. He is the program manager of business administration, management, and marketing. So this is the program that he manages, management, so the ASN management. So some of the program highlights, it is a two-year program. We offer a variety of classes on campus, online, and 100% online as well. So business certification opportunities, which is great, and these are transferable to SES bachelor's degree in management and leadership, which I'll talk about a little bit later. And then some of the potential career paths, and this is what we share with our students. Each semester we've been doing a business orientation. So students know who we are, they can put a face with a name, and they know a little bit about each of our programs and some of their potential career paths. And we always like to provide the students with some of their earning potential as well. So that gives you a little bit of flavor, a little bit of taste of management. Marketing, also Professor Justin McDonald also is the program manager for marketing, very popular. So it gives you a sense of some of the program highlights. Again, we're proud to offer a mix of classes on campus, online, hybrid format. There are certifications that the students can get, and notice it is, again, transferable to SES bachelor's degree in management and leadership. And some of the potential career paths that students can expect along with the earning potential. We try to keep this up to date on a regular basis, every semester, every academic year, because we do know that that changes. Marketing is very popular among students, right? It's very creative, and they enjoy that. This is Assistant Professor of Business, Dr. Suzanne Anderson. She is our Program Manager of Hospitality and Tourism Management, which is a newer program. It's become very popular as well. We live in the perfect area for tourism and hospitality. And she has many, many years. She has so many connections. She knows so many people in Sarasota, Manatee County in hospitality and tourism. She's been a great addition to our department. Just to give you a little insight into hospitality and tourism, some of the program highlights, and some of the potential career paths, and then also it's important to note that we have an articulation agreement, an arrangement with USF Sarasota Manatee. So the BS degree with USF through their BSAS program with a hospitality concentration. So that's pretty cool that we have that articulation agreement with them. And again, many of our students work in the hospitality and tourism industry. This is our newest faculty member, Professor of Accounting, Dr. Cammie Wayne. She is located on our Venice campus. She teaches both in Lakewood Ranch and Venice. And she is the Program Manager in Business Administration, Accounting, Budgeting, Operations Management. Give you an idea, accounting is very popular among students. Who figured that? But yes, if you ask a student, what's your major? Accounting. Really, why not economics? So accounting is very popular. Accounting, budgeting, operations, management, little flavor of some of our program highlights, and then some of the potential career paths, and then their earning potential as well.
I think you need to up that average because accountants are making a lot more than that.
So this isn't for accountants, but this is for payroll coordinators, bookkeepers primarily, but yes, accountants make far more than that for sure. Good catch. So we have the VITA internship, Volunteer Income Tax Assistance. And this is an internship program that students can get college credit for and also get internship credit. So this is very recent. This past couple Saturdays ago, March 15th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., we had some of our students that are VITA certified, and they were actually helping community members prepare their taxes. Which was wonderful to see. They were very, very appreciative, very grateful for that.
Kristen, what's VITA stand for?
The Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. That's VITA, Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program.
Is that Professor McKeague and the?
Yep, Professor McKeague, and then we have our students that are certified. They need many, many hours to be qualified to help with people's tax preparations.
And we did it on campus?
We did it on campus. We did it in our Veterans Center on the Bradenton campus. And we probably had 30 to 45 people stop by.
Yeah. I'll talk to you about it offline. I was a FIDO preparer for a couple of years.
Oh, wow.
You got some extra time?
Yeah. I need a little help. So I'm out next week.
If you have that much extra time, we need to talk.
So that's pretty cool. And then this is Assistant Professor of Business, Dr. Tuglisha Johnson. And she is the Program Manager of Entrepreneurship. She wears many hats at the college. So she is the Venice Chapter FBLA Advisor, and she's just been a wonderful addition to the Business Department for us. So a little bit about entrepreneurship, some of the program highlights. Again, two-year program, a mixture of classes for our students that may work full-time and they want to take evening classes, so on campus and online. And then some of the earning potentials, you can see this is a very large range here, right? Because entrepreneurship is very broad. Many of you all are entrepreneurs as well, which is amazing. And some of the potential career paths. That's also very, students are very interested in learning more about entrepreneurship as well. This is Gary Baker, our Program Manager of Management and Leadership, which is our bachelor's degree. And he is our current Assistant Dean of Business and the Technology, Business Technology and Community Services. Now this is, wanted to say this towards the end, this is our BAS degree at SCF, so it's in Management and Leadership. It's a Bachelor's of Applied Science degree, and some of the concentrations that students have to choose from, Technology Management, Supervision and Management, International Business and Trade, and that is a 60 credit hour degree requirement, all taken at SCF. And I love this last part, tuition. We try to stress to the students that tuition is only $10 more per credit hour at SCF. And that's only $10 more per credit hour than our lower division courses, what we charge. Yes, sir?
Going back to entrepreneurship, you mentioned the demand for like accounting and business. I was curious, what's the interest by students? Because we're in this digital economy, I mean, they're starting businesses on TikTok.
Absolutely.
So but they don't really understand how to run them. So I'm just curious how the interest level.
So the interest level is very high. And as you said, a lot of our students, they just kind of want to jump right into starting their business on TikTok without understanding the foundation of a business plan and how do you market that appropriately. But there is a lot of interest, for sure.
Is that like a waiting list, or is it like?
We don't have a waiting list. So right now, our entrepreneurship, we're at 80 students. 91. 80 is hospitality and management. And that number is consistently growing. It's a fairly new-ish program that we have. But we're definitely getting some more interest in that, for sure. Very popular.
How many students do you have in your upper division?
The upper division? So for our upper division, we have, in our BAS, Supervision and Management, 164. And that number is constantly growing once we explain to the students, you know what? You could just stay at SCF once you finish your AA or AS degree, and you can get your bachelor's degree with us for a fraction of the cost. And so that's very attractive.
Do you know what the difference is between getting your BS and BA here or University of Florida or Florida State?
Oh, goodness.
Thousands of dollars is what it is.
Thousands and thousands of dollars. You're absolutely right. So the students tell us, oh, I would love to transfer to the University of Florida. I would love to transfer to Florida State. I would love to go to USF. And so that's when we have that conversation. Well, you know what? You could get a really high-quality business degree if you stay here at SCF, and you could save a lot of money doing that.
Put it toward their master's.
Yes. Yes.
Does the entrepreneurship AS degree transfer to a four-year degree? Like
so our AS degrees are non-transferable. Our AS degrees.
Oh, I'm sorry. On the previous slide, maybe I misunderstood for the other ones. I thought that they were like, I'm sorry, not actually his name, but some of the other degrees it talked about. The credits don't count toward a four-year degree. These are the
standalone. So if you want to major in accounting, let's say.
Okay.
If you want to major in accounting, you can take all of the required classes with us, and those classes will transfer to a four-year university. Okay. Now, if you're just interested in a workforce degree or a workforce certificate, then no, those classes will not transfer over to a university because they're meant for the student to earn that business operation certification and then to go out and to start working an entry-level business position.
I understand. Okay.
Yeah, great question. Yeah, so we try to promote that as much as possible. This is another full-time professor, Dr. Richard Darabola. He's also a newer full-time faculty member. His office is located in Venice. He teaches in Venice and Lakewood Ranch with along with Dr. Wayne, Dr. Cammie Wayne. He is very heavily involved in research. He was just presenting a paper at a conference last week, as a matter of fact. And he's an expert on Nigeria's economy, but he's also an expert on the U.S. economy as well. So he is one of the nicest, most down-to-earth, humble people you'll ever meet in your life. He is just a true, amazing person. Dr. Linda McKegg, so she is Associate Professor of Accounting, and her office is in the Bradenton campus. So really happy about this. I'm really proud. So this tall gentleman in the middle here, this is Dr. Raphael Bostic. He is the current president of the Atlanta Regional Federal Reserve Bank. And he gave a talk in Sarasota a couple of years ago, and I took some of my economics students, and we were able to have some conversations with him. He loves to get out to the community. He comes to our area a few times a year. And so what's amazing about him, number one, he's very, very intelligent. He is very, very humble. He's very easy to talk to. So he is a voting member of the Federal Open Market Committee, so he actually gets to vote and decide on monetary policy. Should we keep interest rates where they are? Should we lower them? Should we raise them? So he's actually a voting member. So he's kind of a big deal, and our students got to meet him. So he's kind of a rock star in the economics world. So really happy about that. The students were just delighted. They're like, can we have our picture taken with him? And then our amazing and wonderful FBLA students. We have a lot of students with us tonight. And this is a combination of our students from the Bradenton chapter and the Venice chapter. And recently they won several awards at the state conference in Orlando, which allows them to qualify to attend nationals in Dallas in June. And they have graciously agreed to talk a little bit about their experience participating at the state conference in Orlando. And I would love for them to introduce themselves. If you want to share what some of the clubs that you're in and what your major is, I think President Gregory the Board would really appreciate that.
Good afternoon, members of the board. My name is Keon. Thank you for having me. You all look lovely, by the way. I represent the Venice chapter of FBLA, and here we like to focus on rapport, networking, and overall good leadership skills. And it was very, very insightful to us to go to states in Orlando and learn about what we could do to help each other go forth and process our future career attributes. You want to share something?
Good afternoon, members of the board. My name is Kristen Molina, and I am the current SGA president for FBS, and I'm part of FBLA as the secretary and social media manager. And we want to share our experience of the FBLA state competition that we recently went to in Orlando. And before this trip, I had never like went a single night away from home. And I knew I wasn't an expert in public speaking at all. But when I first got to the competition room, my nerves took over. And when I walked out of that room, I felt like I just wanted to run back to my hotel room. But instead, my team was there, and they were there to support me. And later, we had a guest speaker called Danny Alvarez, who shared his journey in leadership and his mistakes and how those mistakes were the very ones that helped him get to where he is now. And his words resonated deeply with me, and that helped me accept that failure is a part of growth, and it gave me confidence. Later, we attended business stores and networking events, and for the first time, I felt like I was independent, and that I was stepping into adulthood. And then came the award ceremony, and that...
But you had the opportunity to win an award, which I was very proud of you.
Thank you.
As a matter of fact, all of our chapter members were able to win an award. We worked very graciously, very hard to overcome a lot of fears, like you said. A lot of us had the jitters, but because we were there for each other, it was very, very feel-good moment to have each other there and celebrate what our accomplishments.
Yeah, at that moment, when I got that award, I felt like I knew I could follow my dreams, and I can learn more about public speaking, and that hard work does pay off.
Absolutely.
And this experience taught me resilience. It taught me that working as a community is important, and it's important to push past the fears, and that leadership isn't just about perfection. It's about learning from those failures and adapting and continuing forward. And it reminded me the opportunities provided by institutions like this, opportunities like FBLA, are life-changing. And many of us stop learning after our classes are over, after we're out of our work, but honestly, I've learned so much more about life and about myself through taking risks like these, and watching others speak and collaborating, and an hour a day, every day, meetings, attending networking events, they can compound. And right now, we're doing a fundraising event for our national competition. We're doing a game night where we're doing a lot of business strategies to maximize your profits from that event.
You're also doing a movie night, bring everyone together. A great way to, you know, have a little fun while also remaining, also keeping those standard business propositions. But yes, just like you said, very, very defining career moment, very defining character moment. Before I joined FBLA, I was very confused. I was approached by our president, who is unfortunately not here today, which I thank for helping us win our accomplishments. When I was approached by her, she said, "Hey, come join." I was very scared at first because I didn't know what it was going to be like, but I'm very grateful to take that chance to meet all a bunch of my friends, my future friends that have celebrated and congratulated me in winning and just taking that breakthrough to better success in a better environment.
Thank you so much, Keon and Kristen.
Thank you.
I know it takes a lot of courage to come and speak in front of a crowd, but you're doing wonderful. And they're looking to raise $15,000. So everyone placed from the Venice and the Bradenton chapter for FBLA. I don't think we said what FBLA stands for, Future Business Leaders of America, if you're wondering about that. So they are looking to really, really take advantage of some fundraising activities, but they'll also be looking for other resources at the college. So their chapter advisors are working on that as well.
Can I make a comment?
Of course.
Very good job, you guys. Very, very proud of you. And I want to commend you for doing the one thing that I think business leaders have to learn to do, is ask for the business. Mm-hmm. So you asked for money to go to nationals, and I commend you for that. I appreciate you telling us the amount. Next thing you need to do is tell us how we can give you the money.
Well,
Cassandra's over there. Well, your purse is down here.
Well, a good start is we are very personal people, so we love to go around and invite people to these fundraisers. Say, "Hey, you like popcorn? I like popcorn. Let's go watch a movie. You know, come contribute," in a very friendly, personal way.
That's what sales is. It's not, everybody thinks it's a hard sell, but just asking the question.
Absolutely.
Is what it is. So I commend you for doing that in your speech. So I appreciate that. Congratulations.
Is the rest of your team, or some of the rest of your team here?
Yeah.
Can they can
stand up?
They're also phenomenal, by the way. We thank you all for coming here, because, you know, you're also a part of us, part of our family, as we call it. But yes, absolutely.
Great. Thank you very much.
One more thing. I also am very impressed that you take your public speaking to the next level, and to speak before a lot of people all at once can also take the anxiety level up even more. But I also love how you talk about each other. I think oftentimes in business it can be, you know, sharp elbows wanting to make yourself look good. But I really like how you talk about your teammates, you talked about each other up here, and never let go of that, because I think people that are really, really good bosses And really good people that want to work for you are the people that want to be team players. So keep that up. Great job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Wonderful. Thank you guys so much. I just have one or two more slides, and then we'll wrap it up, because I know you have to get on to other pressing matters. So glad that you were able to see them. So this is just some of the flyers to give you a sense of some of the things we're doing in the business department. So our orientation for all business majors, that's been very popular, and more students are attending that. Kristen Molina attended that, and she actually won the prize at the end. And then recently we had our business speaker series. That's something new that we have in the business department. And students were able to meet and mingle. They were able to practice their networking skills, which definitely takes some practice, as you all know. So that was very popular as well. It was so great to see these students come out of their shell and to really start to network with one another. And they really took it serious, too. And this is just gives you a taste of some of our marketing efforts in the business department. We are located in Building 18. As you walk in the door, we have posters for all of our programs there, hospitality, management, entrepreneurship, and then, of course, our SEF bachelor's degrees. And then, if you're interested, we have an SEF business Instagram account that is wonderful, and that's a new thing, so please feel free to check that out if you're interested.
For the old farts, is there Facebook?
Not on Instagram. So we don't have a Facebook page, but...
You're not cool.
I have it.
And we don't have TikTok, but maybe we should make that a consideration, too. And that's all I have for you folks tonight.
I would say LinkedIn.
Yes.
Because it's more, I would use that for professional, and then I'm an old fart for social. I use Facebook, and I'm 40.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Don't put that in the minute.
Does anyone have any questions? Yes, sir.
Are the Bachelor of Science degrees that go out,
yes,
are they fully accepted by the universities and the master programs?
Yes.
So we're fully accredited in that area.
I believe so.
They
yes,
pass
sir.
Here, they go right into the master's program. I mean, I say that because my son went to Florida Southern for some reason for 2 years, straight A's, transferred to South Florida, had to take everything over again. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't accept, which is a very bone of contention in my family.
Sorry, I can understand.
I have one more question.
Yes.
What can you talk a little bit about the internship opportunities? Because I know there's actually a bill that's on the table to require post-secondary facilities to give credit for internship or apprenticeship programs. So can you talk a little bit about that? I'm hoping
yeah.
that passes, by the way.
So our business degrees and our certificates, so where was I going with that? Oh, so they all require an internship. So we call that 2949, and it's an internship course. So if they're an accounting major or any business major, they can sign up for the VITA internship, and that will qualify as their internship opportunity. But we also have internship requirements in hospitality and tourism. The students do some really interesting things to satisfy that internship requirement. But general business as well, marketing and management. Before they graduate from SCF, they do. It is a requirement to complete that internship.
Good.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kristen.
Thank you.
Now we move on to approval of non-financial consent agenda. Is there any items that the board needs to pull? If not, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second? There's a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The ayes have it. We move on to approval of financial consent agenda. I have two items I'd like to, pull for discussion, Exhibit F and Exhibit J. Are there any others that need to be pulled?
Seeing none, is there a motion to approve the rest of the agenda?
So moved.
So moved.
Seconded? Okay. There's a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion passes. Okay, so Julie's not here. Is there somebody that can answer a financial question for me?
Yes, there we go.
Oh, awesome. Okay. I did not see you back there.
Oh, sorry.
Is it all right if she stays there?
Is it okay?
Okay. So it's fine with me. It might take 10 minutes to get up here. All right, so on page 20, and again on page 38, we have three bullets at the top there that are summarizing, right? So the first bullet on page 20 is year-to-date actual revenue, 61% of adjusted budget, which is flat for the three-year average for the December year. Second one, where we have year-to-date actual expense, is 54% of adjusted budget, which is higher than the three-year average of 47%. Then the third bullet, in my layman's reading of it, completely contradicts the first two bullets.
It does. We will need to make the correction.
Okay.
No worries. We'll get that corrected.
Okay. It's not the same thing on page 38. It applies to me. So, great.
Perfect.
Thank you very much. And with that, I will move that we approve Exhibit F and Exhibit J. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. Motion passes. I'm just going to skip right over 8 and not say anything. And go right on to item 9, old business. Is there any old business to come before the board? Seeing none, we'll move on to new business, president's goals.
Got a couple slides here for you, board members. The first one is, as you recall, for those of you that have been on the board for more than a year, that typically in the March board meeting, which this would be normally March, we move to bi-week, we would be presenting final goals to the board for approval. And I've had conversations with you that I want to take a break in the way that we've been doing that and suggest that you consider over the next couple of months adopting a new strategy and a new process. So right now we do two things. We create goals that you then evaluate me on, and they're college goals, but the only compensation that's tied to it is mine. And I'd like to move away from that model so that I'm not being compensated for goals that the college achieves, and none of them can be. And so you'll see next slide that what we're going to suggest, and you heard me talk about this in the inauguration, what we're looking to do is embrace goals for the college that are really timeless and universal. What our goal is, and you heard Professor Bazura describe it as soaring, which I love. I love the Air Force reference, but soaring by going higher and faster. It's universal. This is what we should do as a college. We should increase our graduation rates. And in order to do that, of course, you have to increase the rates at which you're retaining them from the fall to the spring, and then fall to fall, the persistence and retention rates. And so here's where we are. And if you haven't seen that number before, it probably surprises you, maybe disappoints you, to see that our first time in college graduates, for their two-year degree, looking at them over a four-year period, only 37% are graduating. If there's good news there, it is that we are beating the average in Florida and, right at the national average. But there are colleges in the state of Florida, not many, but there are a small handful that are hitting right at, and I think one or two above 60%. So that's why you see there for our target goal, I want to be the best in the state, not because we get to say we're the best, but because that means that we're practically doubling the number of students that attend college here and graduate. That's what we want to do. That's not a one-year goal, and that's certainly not something that I should be compensated for and the rest of the college should not be. So it's going to take all of us working together. I want to increase the four-year rate to 65%, and if you measure all degrees, including our four-year degrees over eight-year period, you would think it would be higher, but overall, that's a much harder metric in the short term of change over an 8-year period. So In order to do that, if we retain our students at a 90% level from fall to spring, and from fall to fall at an 80% level, we will hit 65%. And then right now, as you know, most of our students are dealing with and juggling all sorts of challenges and work-life balances and maybe children and all sorts of things, just like many of us do in life. So while an AA or an AES degree used to be called a two-year degree, it frankly is, most students are not going to be able to do that. Right now our average is 3.2, and I'd like to make our target 3 years. And the way that we can do that is by being responsive to the students' needs and their course scheduling and of course, academic advice and counseling. There's all sorts of things we can do to make sure that they're passing the classes they're enrolled in and that we're giving them classes on the days and times that they want them or the only times they could take them. So my suggestion to you, board, is that you take these two processes we're doing right now. Right now, and you just received it in the last couple of weeks, which is my annual performance review, and it's that form that you've seen over the years. We can modify that, of course, at any time as the board. You can change the criteria if you want. I don't have any recommended changes for you, but you can do that, of course. You can also change the timing of when you do it. The second thing you do is the goals, and as I've suggested, I think that you should evaluate and adopt goals that are more universal and timeless for the college. Let us focus on what we should be focusing on, and then, you know, that will pay dividends for us. For more importantly for the students. But if we change, for example, the higher persistence rate from 77% to 90%, we'll graduate an extra 400 to 500 students a year. Tuition revenue here would increase by more than $2 million. It'll have positive ripple impact on us and on the entire community. So nothing for voting or anything today, but just to put on your radar as we move forward.
I was gonna say, does the board have some discussion on this?
A higher persistence, what does that exactly mean?
Yeah, you could really just think of it as retention. For some reason in higher education, they use the persistence word to describe students that are enrolled in the fall and then they again enroll in the spring, so they persist.
Is that a calculation of converting FDICs to higher, and is that just a separate?
That's just the students that enroll here in the fall for the first time, how many of them come back in the spring? Right now, we're at 77%.
One other question. The target numbers you came up with, did you just come up with them, or did you consult staff?
Consulted the cabinet for the most part, you know, all the leadership team here, and did an evaluation of colleges across the state of Florida. And as I said, there are some that are hitting 60%. I think there's one at 61%. They're typically colleges that are much better funded than us as a percent, you know, as a per student funding. As you know, as we've talked about, our push to, you know, level the playing field there and get an additional $17 million a year. So most of them fall into that category. Some of them that are doing better than us have an advantage of having a big university in their backyard. Like Santa Fe College, for example, has University of Florida. So as you think about changes that may happen in this area in the coming years, that may impact us as well.
So I'd like to, just my initial thoughts on this, that conceptually I like it a lot. I like the idea of having college-wide goals instead of just president goals. I like the idea of not tying direct financial reimbursement to the goals. But if the goals are hit or close to, then you actually have a positive accruement to, as the president was saying, to everybody, including staff, because there's more money to work with there's more money for programs, there's more money for pay. So there's incentive for everybody to want to reach these goals in their areas, and it would take a while. I don't have any idea if the numbers are the right percentages. I kind of have to leave that to the experts to come up with what is reasonable. But I like the concept a lot because I like the way it focuses on sort of the primary issues that we need to be looking at as a college, because this is, while those are just, you know, kind of cold, hard data points,
you're looking at, those are affecting a lot of students' lives. And we can get better at both graduating and retaining or persisting, then that's going to be it's going to be a higher quality of life issue for a lot of our students. And that's just a win for everybody. So overall, my initial take is I like this idea. I don't know where the rest of the board is, but Britt had something.
I would agree. I have not been a member of this board long, but at my first meeting, which was also President Gregory's first meeting, I remember a discussion about his goals, and we discussed the difference between increasing enrollment from 1% to 2%. And one can make, you know, reflections about that, but you could always be putting more people into an institution, but it's really the benefit that the student receives from the institution that's the true mark of the value of the experience. And so I very much like these goals and the alignment with the organization, with the other boards that I've served on, government boards, that being the hospital board in Sarasota. This is exactly how it's aligned. The CEO's goals and the organization's goals are the same, as well as the private company board I serve on. So I've seen two very well-run organizations follow this and definitely support it.
I do a lot of executive benefits, and I agree with you. This is exactly how they review it. These seem to me like key performance indicators of business. I understand. It is the future of kind of how you assess how a business is doing and how to grow it. I'd be interested in seeing, you know, with KPIs, you have the breakdown of the plan of actually how you're going to get to those numbers. And I think that would be very instructive for us. I think we do need to be careful and mindful, since we are a public entity, so because I assume you are going to want some pay increases in the future, and probably well-deserved, we need to have a plan in place to be able to not just accommodate, but to share with the community the reasoning behind that. So if you're wanting this to dictate the whole college's goals, which I agree with, how do we transfer that into proof that you deserve a raise? And how do we share that? Because I know that is being very, I think a lot of the government, you know, with DOGE and everything, they're really kind of drilling down on reasoning behind things like that. That would be my comment.
I think that, which is a great observation, I think that comes down, it's the responsibility of us on the board to determine that. And if we are getting anywhere near these goals, which would be dramatic improvements, I mean, there's a place the buck stops typically. That's usually thought of as a negative thing, but it's also a positive thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just my two cents,
yeah.
Is that we would probably have a good feeling when it comes time to, you know, renegotiate or re-up the contract, whether we're happy
like
with it.
Like, if we're hitting these and our persistency rate for faculty drops, like, then, you know, how did, that's great. I don't know how that would happen, but just for an example of, you know, if he felt deserving of a raise, which, again, I don't foresee is not happening, but I would want more metrics out of this plan to be focused on your production and performance. So the plan, maybe some of the plan pieces could be tailored to you, pardon the pun.
Well, it's great timing. As you know, we are coming to the end of our last five-year strategic plan, so starting next academic year in the fall should be the timing for the launch of our next five-year plan, which you can see the future now. We plan on, or at least I'm planning on at this point, focusing on taking the college higher and faster. Mm-hmm. And so that plan will necessarily include, okay, well, that's great, but how do we get there?
Mm-hmm.
The actual details that you're looking for, what's the plan in every single area? How do we contribute and how do we get there?
If I'm not mistaken, these KPIs, you will run a math model behind it. Higher revenue for the college.
Yes, that's correct.
Which I think that more, it's a lever that at least we can pull in the future instead of being restricted to the funding we currently get.
Yeah, that's right. It will give us more recurring funding. We have predictability on our new higher persistent retention graduation rates. Then it gives us a pot of money that we can look at for college employee raises. I will note that my contract, and I want to keep it this way, my contract raises are tied to raises that the faculty, staff, everybody gets. So I won't get raises nor ask for raises more than what all college employees get.
Which is admirable, and I love the thought, but there's also what happens is you get kind of a depression of incomes. If the top level is only going up so much, that means the bottom level can only go up so much. And so I want us to be careful that we don't, you know, keep you so low that nobody else can go up.
No, I'll let you go.
Yeah, I'll keep it down here too.
Yeah, so I mean, it's admirable, but we also have to, you know, look at the market and make sure that, you know, just because you're being nice now, it doesn't necessarily that it is nice for the faculty or the staff or admin.
Okay.
Because, yeah, you know.
That's all I had on.
So I'm sorry, so we don't have to violate sunshine, I want to kind of keep this conversation going just a little bit here. If he gets a 5% raise and the staff gets a 5% raise, how does that compress the staff getting adequate raises?
Well, because when you look at the market, sometimes a position deserves, if you're hiring somebody, deserves a higher than a 5% raise if you wanted to bring on somebody new. But if your CEO is capped on $100,000, nobody else can go above that because you don't foresee, you know, any, you know, the VP can't make more than the CEO.
You can't hire somebody new.
So you can't really hire anybody new when you're looking at the market. So we have to make sure we keep him at market rates to be able to recruit adequate.
Market rates are really difficult to determine, as we've seen recently from presidents, because there's a small universe of 28 colleges. There's a real small one of colleges that are our size. And so I understand exactly what you're saying. I'm just having a conversation because you and I can't go out in the hallway and talk without breaking state law.
Isn't there other ways, other methods of compensation other than just salary?
Correct.
That's the lever I was talking about, as far as if every time a percentage goes up, there's more revenue for the college, there's actually a calculation of the district income.
If I may add to that, something that we instituted on the hospital board was the LTI, the long-term incentive. Is this something that you've talked about? So especially for nonprofit or government entities in which there are not stock options available, you have long-term goals that are not necessarily something that someone can be evaluated on an annual basis because of the long-term nature of the project itself. But if the goals of that long-term goal are met, then there is an additional kind of compensation received after a period of time, whether it's 3 years or 5 years. And so that's another creative way that we use to help compensate someone who was doing a good and challenging job while also still trying to be thoughtful about the current salary.
There's non-market, non-financial incentives as well that could assist. But I think your point is while that would be good for everybody, I want to just make sure that we're making it good for Tommy too.
I think the one thing I would just add for clarification is when you say overall 8 year, what period of time do you envision this target taking place? I mean, obviously it's not a 1 year goal, it's not a 2 year goal, it's not a 3 year goal. Do you have a sense of by 2035 or, you know, what would you expect?
I really think it's going to take us more than 5 years. But for planning purposes, I think if we make it 10 years, and we have talked about this internally, if we make it 2 years or 10 years, it's really too long and we don't focus on it and don't meet it. So we're going to say this is our five-year goal, and I think we can get there. I think we can get very close and get there. If we hit 90%, 80%, we will hit 65. I mean, that's just the math. If you retain 90 or persist 90% from fall to spring, that will hit you, and you do it 90% from spring to fall, now you're at 80. And if we hit 80%, we'll be at 65%. I do think that we can achieve it in 5 years, but it's a high goal. It's a lot.
Are you working with any kind of consultants or business plan expert? Because, I mean, this is kind of what you're going to need to design as a business plan with the overall. Are we doing any outside, or is it all internal?
We are in the beginning stages, but we've got, I would say my three experts right now are Dr. Rand, Dr. Hill, and
she just left. Tynesha
Johnson. So Dr. Johnson, you know, just to give you the background, I ran into her, first time I met her was at an event on the Venice campus, and she shared with me that she had a real passion for strategic planning and diving into the details of putting together plans for strategic purposes, goal setting. So she has a lot of experience doing it and a lot of energy. And so I'm thrilled that she's raised her hand to be on that team, and so have many others. So, yeah, we're putting together a team, not from the outside. I think we have the experts right here in-house.
On the eight-year retention that Britt brought up, 5 years seems, I mean, I'm great with ambitious goals, but if it's a rolling eight-year average, 5 years still is going to include 3 years before it starts. Yeah. And that average, which is a bit of an anchor on reaching. I assumed when I saw that it would be after 8 years, so that you would have all new 8 years under a new, you know, goal procedure and all.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense or not, but
okay.
Yeah.
No, that's why we have it lower in part, why that's at 50%.
Okay.
Because of the anchor.
Okay. Are there any other questions or discussion on this? All right. Thank you, Mr. President. Next up is Cassandra with the SCF Foundation update.
Well, fundraising achievement continues throughout the year. March 31st will be our six-month time period, because our year-end is September 30th. So right now, the foundation and fundraising achievement is at $1.7 million. We have six more months to go. So our total budget is at $3.2 million. So we have $1.5 million to complete our fiscal year and to hit our target. Evening Under the Stars is this weekend. And I would like to thank everyone from the Venice campus that is opening up the campus to us, from our facility staff, our public safety, and everyone in between that is volunteering. We're having 454 people attend this event this weekend. So we're very, very excited. We are getting a lot of sales, if you will, on our general admission tickets. That will continue up until Friday. On Saturday, you can still purchase tickets. We typically have the last minute purchases go anywhere between 50 to 75 individuals the day of the event. There is going to be lovely weather. It will be nice and hot at 88 degrees, high humidity, plenty of wind, and no rain. So this is an outdoor event. So if you are attending, please note, wear comfortable shoes. Our Venice campus is lovely. There's many, many paths to walk on. And then we will have great music, great fireworks, and the Venice community really opens up their arms to the college. We will have different features at the event. It's So Happy Together. It's going to be kind of a 1960s style event. I would like to thank Trustee Domenico and Trustee Fuller, and anyone else that would like to come. I know the spring has been super busy. Every charity that had events in the fall has rescheduled their events for the spring. So the competition is fierce. And so we do believe that we'll probably hit a little over 500 individuals after we get everything said and done. We would also like to encourage you, because one of the biggest challenges when you're looking at fundraising is time, talent, but door opening. And door opening is the largest and biggest thing that we need your help on. That means we had, President Gregory was kind enough in early March to speak to the Bradenton Kiwanis Club. And they opened up their arms and welcomed the college and President Gregory. It was a wonderful, wonderful event. But those types of events, you may be members of different clubs, organizations, different service clubs. Those are great ways. I had the Longbow Key Garden Club call me today and ask if President Gregory would speak to them at one of their events. And so you just don't know. That's a great way to get the mission of the college out in the community. And there are other organizations. So you just think about that when you're thinking of your mental Rolodex and ways in which that President Gregory can go out and have wonderful speaking engagements, because they're very, very powerful tools for the foundation. Next up, I would like to thank Britt and Noah Reiner for opening up their third scholarship fund. This particular fund is very, very special, as it is really centered on helping dual and language students that are enrolled in that program. And it's going to focus on, and Britt, you would be best to say this in Spanish, it's dual enrollment patient-centered nursing scholarship. And so we are in hopes to kick that off in the fall, and I wanted to thank you for that. I also wanted to thank Taylor Collins for mining the community on behalf of the National Association of Insurance and Financial Advisors, searching for that special SCF student that may want to take advantage of a day in Tallahassee, learning about lobbying, learning about the good works of what they do in Tallahassee with this particular organization which she belongs. And so do know that your efforts and your time, your talent, and your door opening are very, very important to the foundation. I also would like to thank all the faculty and administrators in the back for all the clubs and organizations of which you serve. If you would like to make a charitable donation to music, athletics, FBLA, any organization, you can do that through the foundation by going to our website. We take checks, cash, so those are the ways in which you can contribute.
Cryptocurrency?
We do not have cryptocurrency.
Yes.
It's had a little bit of a waffling, but as it gets stabilized, that is the future, I've heard. So thank you very much, and we look forward to seeing you this Saturday.
I also want to say that Jamie Smith has been leading the effort to and working with faculty to highlight their expertise and sort of create a speaker's bureau, this expert faculty that we have here. So it's not just me that, I'm happy to go speak to the Garden Club or any other doors that you get open, but a lot of times I think you're going to find organizations that are looking for an expert in something that our faculty have an expertise in. So you'll see that being developed further on our website and on LinkedIn. So don't just think of me when you think of opportunities that are out there. You think of somebody who needs an expertise in Jason Reedsville or Zaborski or any of our other talented faculty.
Good. All right, thank you. That moves us to board comments. Let's start with Mark. Do you have any comments?
I got a bunch. I'm not going to be here next meeting, so forgive me for that. If we want to help these kids go to this national speaking thing, can I send you a check? I mean, how are we going to do this?
Send it to Cassandra.
Cassandra.
Yes.
So foundation?
Yes.
Okay.
And in the memo section, you would put FBLA national trip.
Yep. Got it. We received two reports, two audits. I assume everybody else did. And we wasn't brought up in during this session, but I think the minutes should reflect that we did receive them, number one. Number two, that the financial audit was spectacular. I mean, not one single problem was raised in the financial audit, and kudos to that department. Thank you. Fantastic. And then we also received an operational audit, which had four very small findings that they wanted to take care of. Let the record reflect that we brought it up in this board meeting and that we are taking care of those four items. Is that correct? Make sure that the minutes reflect that the answer was in the affirmative.
They will brief those next week, Mr. Goodson, or next month.
I won't be here next month, but thank you very much. This will be my third or fourth budget meeting. Unfortunately, Jennifer, your class was fantastic. I went in there thinking it was going to be like when I took the course 54 years ago. I know I spoke on how to throw a slider. But they were incredible. I think I saw four of them, if I didn't listen. The kids were just incredible, and I urge all of you to go to a class. I mean, it was spectacular. I mean, they were like professionals. It was, I made a lot of speeches in my life. They were incredible, so I commend you, and it was very, very thought going, and thank you for letting me go there. The governor, I just found out yesterday, and maybe you did longer than me, because of the surplus within the state of Florida and how well he's run the place, he wants to give $1,000 back to property owners throughout the state of Florida. I don't want, because I don't know enough about it to make, but I would suggest strongly that the 28 colleges write him a letter and say, listen, we're desperate for funds. We can't give our faculty raises. How about lowering it to 500 and give us the other 500? I would almost bring up a motion that we sign a letter to do that, but I think that's probably inappropriate because I don't know enough about what's going on. But I don't need $1,000 back in my property insurance. But as a board member, I do need as much money as I can get to run this place. I don't know if the faculty know this or not, and maybe I'm out of place in doing this, but we spent hours late into the night trying to come up with dollars for you guys. We looked at every single possibility, and the only place we could find is to move the money from technology to you. I don't want to say this is a tight budget, but this is one of the tightest budgets I've ever been around in my career. And trust me, when you're on the board of a hospital, they are some very tight margins and very tight budgets. And I've been through 26 of those. But this is tight. And we gave you every nickel we could find. Whether you hope you believe that, if you don't, I'm sorry, but it's true. Every single member of this board went into that meeting with the same goal, to give you guys raises, and including Tommy, I mean, President Gregory Smith. We all wanted to get that job done, and we did the best we could. The only way to make this work is for revenue to increase, and unfortunately, revenue is tied to the state of Florida, and we need to have them support us. So I urge what I just said to occur. Whether politically it's not the right move, you'll have to make those kind of decisions. But even if we got 500, can you imagine how much money that would be for the 28 colleges? It would be a massive amount. There's a lot of property in the state of Florida. And I hope that state legislature would at least consider doing that for us. That's it. Thank you.
Ken?
I, first, presentation wonderful, FBLA, you guys did a great job, gave me a lot of confidence in future business leaders, I look forward to getting more engaged with your program. I affirm Trustee Grissom's statements and sentiments and equally support his suggestion and recommendation that we devote more monies toward our education, particularly our secondary education that's supported by the state. I really enjoyed Tommy's presentation on aligning the organization with goals and substantiating it with index numbers. I hope that success looks like that, and I would caution that if we fall a little short, let our hearts not be distressed. Be shooting for the stars and hoping to land on the moon. And I think if everybody pulls together, we can make a big impact on this organization. And you have my full support to help wherever I can help attaining those things. So excellent, excellent meeting today.
Kristen really enjoyed the presentation.
Thank you so much.
It was really good. And President Gregory, those kind of presentations, I'm speaking for myself, but I think I'm speaking for the whole board, are really, really helpful for us to have a better understanding of the moving parts of the college. So that's great. Secondly, yes, I think your decision to relook at the goals is refreshing. It was needed, and I don't know that I knew it was needed until you brought it up. So I agree. I think that's great. Highlight of this meeting for me was our students. Mm-hmm. You guys did a fabulous job. And I'm going to reiterate, I think Trustee Reiner, I think, made a point, but that's tough to get up in front of a group like this. I mean, you know, yeah, we are actually just normal people, but I get it. It's like, oh, it's the Board of Trustees. So I'm like, that was very impressive. You guys did a fantastic job. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, thank you guys for coming and sharing. That was amazing stuff. Brought me back to my old days when I was scared to death to talk in front of people. but great stuff. I'm with Ditto, too, with Mike, our Trustee Fuller, on this. You know, having the different departments come up. You know, I've learned so much from the art. I've learned so much from the, you know, keep them coming. I just think it's something that's refreshing every meeting. Now we get to listen to a new landscape of the campus. I think that's great. The other thing I'd like to add on is I hope that y'all know where we've been in the past, okay, and where we're going. And I'm kind of like Trustee Goodson here. You know, we've been through a lot together, and I hope it's refreshing, and I hope it's – I come from a family background of values where actions speak louder than words. And I hope that from my perspective, I hope that y'all see that there's a lot of action that are being taken, not just a lot of words. And it's going to take us time to get there. It's going to take us a team to do it. So I also want to commend President Gregory because in an era where we've been getting rid of things, I don't want it to be glossed over that on page 48, he's actually bringing new athletics to our campus in men's and women's cross country. So instead of deleting sports, he's been adding sports. So thank you for that. Again, promises made, promises kept. So for me, this meeting was thrilling. I loved it. The students, again, come back. You know, bring more students back. Let us know your experiences. So really appreciate that.
Taylor?
I loved it. You all are speaking my language in the business school. I'm curious, though, were you teaching in 2004 to
2005 here?
I was not.
Okay.
No, I started in 2010.
My macro. So yeah, but whatever we can do to help, I again commend you for actually asking for the business. You don't ask, you don't get. It drives me crazy when people say, well, they're not giving it to me. Well, because you don't ask. So just
business
remember.
Business 101.
Yeah, exactly. Business 101. And if you can take a no, that's okay. So I love the goals. I'm excited about seeing those, although doing the strategic plan makes me want to cry when I had to do mine. So I love the team that you've put together to help you with that. And I look forward to seeing that. I also wanted to thank Brittany, who I know is not here, but I connected her with the Dreamers Academy, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. It's a bilingual charter school that just got approved to advance from K through 6 to K through 8. And I think it would be an excellent opportunity to have SCF partner with them. And I heard back from the leader, Jerry, who was just blown away by the connection with Brittany. Very excited opportunity. So I think that'll be really exciting to see how we might partner with them.
Love the spotlight, but I think what made this month's spotlight even better, in addition to Kristen's excellent presentation, was the student. And so I would ask that in the future, if it's possible, whatever department that we are learning about, that we would get to meet some of the students there. And if for some reason those students are unable to come, if there's a recording or a, you know, profile about them, I mean, that's the customer that we're serving here. So I love that. And I also appreciate President Gregory being responsive to my request, because I did request a future mission spotlight. Dr. Sawmel, who is the dean of the nursing school and school of education, is going to be giving us a presentation at some point that President Gregory and Chair Thompson deemed appropriate about her ambitious plans for the nursing school. I was so impressed when she told me about this inaugural dual language program that's really the first of its kind in the state of Florida, perhaps the nation. And it did inspire my husband and me to create El Premio de Enfermería Centrada en el Paciente. So this idea of patient-centered nursing, and I love that's what Dr. Sawmel was talking about, and that's what hospitals talk about, is how can we make decisions thinking about what's best for the patient. So not to steal her thunder about how important it is that we graduate more nurses at a time of great nursing shortage, and we graduate nurses that can speak Spanish and deliver healthcare in an English environment, but was just more supercharged on State College of Florida after I met with her. And thank you, Cassandra, for choosing to mention that, because I don't know if I would have shared all of that if you hadn't already said it. But dual language is a big passion of mine, and so thank you very much.
Right, thank you. I just have a couple of things. First of all, to the students that shared, I will say that you only get better at public speaking by doing public speaking. Just a real pain. but it's the truth. You've got to. I've done a ton of public speaking, a lot. I've been on national programs, and I still will get the nerves a little bit when I need to get, even walking in here sometimes, just the chairman of this group. You know, I get just a little bit of nerves, so it's fine to feel that way. I'd also say Taylor's exactly right about asking. And I am right now in the midst of with a longtime, excellent client for my company, who they had vision creep in their contract. And so we need to renegotiate that and get a much better contract. I don't really feel like it, because they've been such a great client. We need more money, so I'm going to make the ask. So that doesn't go away either, but you get better at it, you get more comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm going to double down on everybody on that. I'd love to see the students, whenever we can put the face, because they are the reason for my college. You know, it really does start with the students. There's no purpose for us being around this table. And so putting a face on a lot of this stuff, whenever possible and reasonable, is a great thing. I wanted to ask Tommy, I'll just take this moment to do it, do you have any sort of timeline on your Yes. And the your strategic goals and the college goals and when that can come back to us with a lot more of the information that's been asked for and all.
Well, the strategic plan will take us, you know, probably 8 months to draft and get it to you. That'll be, you know, for next summer, maybe longer than 8 months, maybe a year from now before you have all those details. But we can give it to you in chunks as we work on it between now and then. So I think we are settling in, if not settled, on what the targets will be, the first numbers. But the plans and the details and the sub-goals, we'll just have to give it to you a little bit by a little bit. It's going to take, I think it'll take us a year to draft the whole plan. And as I said, the current plan, I think, expires in January, but we want to I don't think I said this point. We want to realign and start it in the academic year in the fall. So we're not, you know, we're going to pull it off of the calendar year and make it match our academic year, which we think makes more sense because all of our goals are academic, as they should be.
So you'd be starting it this coming fall?
No, next
It'd
fall.
It'd be a year from this.
A year from now.
Correct. Okay. All right. Thank you. That's all I have. Seeing nothing else, we are adjourned.